neighborhood that couldn't make it today, no problem. I mean, it's not too late. Monday through Friday, we're going, so plenty of room for the little ones. So keep that in mind. You're always welcome. Always welcome. Come on. Okay, we're looking for Numbers chapter 20. In the book of Numbers, which we've been going through, kind of taking our time, really, we've only got chapters 14 through 20 that deal with the actual 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Chapters 14 through 20, you're going to be amazed to find that, and as I talked about it before, it'd be hard to copy the path or to trace out the path that the children of Israel took wandering in the wilderness. They've got basic ideas of the path, but you'll see it's kind of hard because Numbers, for example, only gives us a few of the highlights of certain things that have happened. So now we're in chapter 20, so we've basically covered 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. In those chapters, you just have a few episodes of the things that happened along the way, but they are good lessons for each one of us if we're willing to hear what the Spirit has to say. God tells us, let the one who's willing to hear, let that person hear. You don't have to. It can be boring when you study through anything in the Bible. It can be boring. When I've noticed when I look to God and expect that He would say something, it doesn't matter who's doing the teaching, the Holy Spirit is, and God always shows you and me something when we're listening and want to. When we're not, we can just say, that was boring, it was no good, probably the guy's tired, probably this. But I notice that God speaks to our hearts every time we're in God's Word, if we've got ears to hear. And so Jesus will say it, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. You're going to see that in the book of Revelation quite a few times. The one that wants to listen, listen. Well, powerful lessons for our day. So let's go into chapter 20. Chapter 19, in case you had missed it, was the whole idea of the sacrifice, the red heifer and the sacrifice that went along with that, the cleansing. We talked about that. And now we come into chapter 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. You remember Miriam? She got into a little jam because of a heart attitude. The heart attitude was there. It just kind of got brought out at a certain time. You recall she was complaining about Moses' marriage. And she was also thinking, hey, you know, I don't know if you're such a great leader. I'm a leader too. You remember she got leprosy? I hate that when that happens, don't you? Yeah. And so, Miriam, you do hope she learned her lesson. But I don't know. Let me point out something that may mean nothing. Because it says nothing. I'll tell you what I mean. Here, Miriam dies. And what are we told? Nothing. We have the death of Miriam, and only one verse is given to it. No long days of mourning. No eulogy about her life. Miriam dies, and that's it. She's buried. Oh, there you go. I think, to tell you the honest truth, that's important. I think that says a whole lot because it says nothing. I think Miriam kind of blew it. And there was a price that was paid. Did God still love her? Yes. Did Moses still love her? Oh, I'm sure. But there's a price to be paid. You're going to see it in a moment coming up. And it will make sense to you. But it is interesting that one of the main woman leader who would kind of oversee women's ministries dies. And it's like not a big deal. I don't know. I think you ought to give it some thought. After almost 38 years of wandering, this is the end of the 40 years. After almost 38 years of wandering, remember the first 2 years they traveled and they got set up and they were at the Mount of God and et cetera, et cetera. So after 38 years of wandering, Israel comes back around to Kadesh. Do you remember Kadesh? Do this. Yeah, you do. You remember Kadesh. That's where they stopped the first time, and they sent from there spies to go in. Remember that place? They waited there, and they sent spies to go into the land, to spy out the land. And the spies were in there how long? Thank you. 40 days. And God said, for every day that the spies were in the land, you will wander 1 year in the wilderness. So they wandered a total of 40 years, and it was from Kadesh that they sent the spies in, and they waited there. Here they are again after just about 40 years, a little shy of 40 years now, and they're back at Kadesh. You keep thinking, even though some of you were young when we were here last, you know, maybe you were only 10 when we were here last, but you do remember this place, don't you? You do remember the rebellion and the lack of faith and the disobedience that cost 40 years of our lives in the wilderness. I hope you remember that. You're going to notice the children of Israel don't remember. They don't. Something that you would think you'd really want to write down, but they don't. In verse 2 says, and there was no water there. Remember, there was no water there before either. And there was no water there, no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode. Don't you love the King James Bible? They chode, because chided would be impolite, you know. They chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. You would think that they would have remembered and talked about it years and years, the last 40 years at least, or the last 38 years at least, about next time we get to Kadesh and we're ready to enter in, everybody just be quiet. So we don't have to do another 40 out there, out back. And here they go. I mean, are they just like us or what? How many times do we need to be told? How many times do we have to go in circles, come up upon Kadesh, and go, oh, wait, hold it, hold it. This is Kadesh. Remember, oh, trouble here. Everybody just be cool. Be cool. And we'll get through this. No, they got a wine. And I'm talking about grapes. I'm talking about pegging the wham eater. Wham! And there they go. Do we do that? Ready? We do, don't we? Sure. We need to learn. We need to learn, and God's going to show us some more. Out there in the desert, there was no water. Kadesh. They haven't entered into a land flowing with milk and honey yet. That's the promise. That's the promised land, but they haven't entered in. Because there's no water in the desert, whose fault is it? Moses and Aaron, water makers. Because, see, before they were prophets and leaders, what, did they have a water factory? I don't know. But every time there's no water, whose fault is it? It's Moses and Aaron. I mean, God's the water maker, isn't he? They know that. They complained. They chode. They did chide with Moses and Aaron. They attacked Moses. And they attacked Aaron verbally. They fought with them verbally, is what the word means, to chide, or past tense, to chode. Cheed, chide, chode. I don't know. Listen to what they say. And really think seriously about what they say. We wish we would have died out there when all the others died through this last 40 years. Remember, some died of the plague. Some died of that, the serpents coming in and biting them. And some died by the ground opening up and swallowing them. And you know what? I wish we would have died with all those guys. They were so cool. Do you really think? Come on, be honest with me. Do you really think for 1 minute they really mean that? No, of course they don't. Moses, pray for us that we don't die. Hey, Korah, I was standing next to him, but he wasn't a friend of mine. I didn't know the guy. No, pray that our, Moses, pray for us. Aaron, run out in the middle and pray for us. Hey, we don't want to die. Well, I wish we'd have died out there, man. And all these people who, by the way, were pretty young when they left Egypt. Some of them hadn't been born, but they heard the stories. Man, it was better back in Egypt. You know, we had stuff. Out here, there's not even any water. Do you really believe that right at this moment, these whining, complaining, rebellious, God says, stubborn, stiff-necked people, do you really believe they wish they were dead? The answer is, no, they don't really wish it. They're just saying that. Have you ever said anything that you didn't mean? Me neither. But other Christians do. They do. Oh, yeah, I don't like you anymore either. Oh, yeah, that's a stupid thing. Oh, yeah. And then, do you really believe they wanted to die? I'll tell you what. If they really, honestly, truly wished that they could die, they wouldn't be complaining and moaning and murmuring to Moses. They just lay down and say, there's no water. I'll just lay here till I'm dead. I'll show them. They don't want to die. They want water. Just calmly lay down, die of thirst, and get it over with, Bill. No. What they want is water. And you see their real hearts, don't you? They don't want to die. They want to live. How do I know? Well, look. Why have you brought, verse 4, up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here? Why have you made us to come up out of Egypt? You're still whining that you had to leave Egypt? Do you understand that was 40 years ago? Get over it. You brought us up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place. You notice this place had no seed. Egypt did. This place has no figs. Egypt does. Or vines. Egypt does. Or pomegranates. And there's no water either, they say. See, do they really want to die? Mm-mm. What do they want? Fruit, stuff, water. Want to live, want to party is what we want to do. We don't have what we want. You know, I mentioned it before, but let's say it again. They failed here at Kadesh 38 years ago. They failed. They didn't believe God. They disobeyed his commands. They disobeyed his word. God holds his word above his name. And so God said, you're going to go 40 years, one day for every year of the spies. You didn't believe me. You didn't trust me. You disobeyed. And you learn in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, which is a pretty simple thing, without faith it is impossible to do what? To please God. Because first of all, you've got to believe that he exists, that he is. And then you've got to believe that he's a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. You can find that in Hebrews chapter 11. You've got to believe what he says. So Christian, do you and me, do we believe what he says? Do we believe what he says? Or is that just something we say, but when things get tough, we start whining to Moses or to Aaron or whoever else we figure is the water maker or the food maker or the whatever maker. They failed at Kadesh. They sent spies. They didn't trust God. They are so close right now to the land that's flowing with milk and honey. If they would just relax and let God do what he has always done for the last 40 years. I mean, he has all the way been their savior. He has all the way been providing. Why do they whine and figure he's not going to do it now? He has for 40 years. You've been having manna. He's provided water. This isn't the first time he's going to provide water. There is that rock, that Moses struck. You go back and you'll find that in Exodus. He's already had a rock that's kind of going around and water coming from the rock. This is old news. They all know that. Here's a lesson for me, a lesson for you, a lesson for us as we walk with Jesus Christ. Listen closely. No matter where you are today, you and I, we need to recognize that we belong to the Lord. If we're truly His, if we're truly born again, we belong to Him. We're His children. And we are not here, and I'm talking about earth, you and I, we're not here permanently. You understand that, don't you? We're not going to stay at Kadesh or anywhere like that permanently. God's got something else for us. So things may seem difficult for you or for me right now. But God is going to keep His promise. He is going to do what He promised that He would do. There is no need to whine. There is no need to moan. There is no need to go to anyone and say, you made me hear it. No, you go to God and say, Lord, you promised water. We need water here. We're asking you for water. You're the water maker. Paul says this to the Corinthians. Of course, that's to every one of us as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, listen. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, the King James temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We don't sit here and look around at the things that we see and say, oh my goodness, there's no water. Oh my goodness, there's no rent money. Oh my goodness, look at. We just say this. You know what counts? Eternity. We're not here permanently. This light affliction, he says, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. God allows this here at Kadesh in chapter 20 for their growth, for their good, for their strengthening. So that every time God does a work, you and I go, God did a work. And every time He does a work, we're a little stronger. We're a little more confident. We trust more. We trust more and take bigger, bolder steps. You know, not in stupidity, but in Jesus Christ and in the leading of the Holy Spirit. True? And that's what these people should be doing. And that's where they should be at. But they're not. We're just pilgrims on this earth, you and me, Christians. Passing through. We're not going to really be, not really, in one place for very long. Not really. It may feel like it to you. It may seem like it at times, but we're really not going to be in one place very long. So we shouldn't spend our time complaining about it. But instead, praising God, trusting Him to keep His promise. How long are they going to be here at Kadesh? They're not sure. But there's no water here. Well, then let's go to the Lord and ask Him. He understands what we need before we ask Him. Moses, you go before the Lord for us, would you? Because we need water. Instead, hey, there's no water. You brought us out here to die. It's your fault, Moses. It's your fault, Aaron. You guys make me sick. We don't like you anymore. Look at verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the people, the assembly, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, that would be Aaron's rod, remember the one that budded, that's Aaron's rod. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth as water, And you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts, their animals, drink or water. Now, Moses and Aaron, in this particular case, did, I think, what every one of us should do. They did the right thing here. How many times do you as a Christian get attacked by others? You might not pay attention, and that's good, but it does happen quite a bit. What do you do? How do you defend yourself? You learn that if you spend time defending yourself, you are wasting time. If you have to defend yourself, you can't be preaching the gospel. If you have to defend yourself, you can't be, taking the kingdom of God forward. And so what you do, and Jesus Christ did it, and you see the apostles do it, you let the Lord defend you. And what they did was exactly what they should do. Just fall down before the Lord. They left the congregation, went to the tabernacle, and fell down on their faces before the Lord, praying, crying out to God. All right, Lord, here's a situation. You understand we need water. They are very upset at us because there's no water, Lord. What do you want us to do? They've done it time and time and time before. But how smart is it to go ahead and pray? So, which is what they do. And it's an example for everyone. Jesus did that too. Here's what the Lord said. This was God's answer. Take the rod. That would be, remember, Aaron's rod. The one that showed God's choice of authority. And gather all the people together. And while they are watching, speak to the rock. Did you hear what God said? What did God tell Moses to do? Speak to the rock. You feel a little silly, but you go outside and you're talking to the rock. What are you doing, Moses? We're just talking to this rock. Why? God told me to. You're crazy. No, that's what God said. Speak to the rock. While the people are watching, you go ahead and you speak to the rock. And water will gush out, like it always has before, so that the people and their animals will have plenty to drink. I am their God. I'm the water maker, the water provider. So go ahead, Moses, you do that. Does God sound angry? Hey, surprisingly, not at all. There were a couple of times when God said, I said, I'm going to kill them, kill every one of them, make a whole bunch of them out of you, Moses. And Moses said, Lord, don't, because the people were here, have mercy. And God said, well, that was God's plan all along. Remember, these were tests for Moses. Now you hear, I expected God to say, all right, that's it, water, I'll give him water. Well, you know what we're going to do? We'll flood the place now. I was going to wait for Noah and the gang, but forget it. I'm just had it up to here, and so will they. That's not what God said. What did God say? Moses, give him water. Just as you have before, give him water. Does he sound upset to you? Doesn't sound like it. But you got to speak to the rock. Why just speak to the rock? Well, in Exodus chapter 17, you don't turn there now, but when you get a chance, you can read it. Exodus 17, when the people were complaining, odd, huh? The people were complaining that they didn't have any water. The Lord commanded Moses to take the rod and to strike the rock. It's quite a while back, earlier on. In this 40-year trip. And so God commanded Moses to take the rod and strike the rock, and water will gush from the rock. And sure enough, Moses took the rod and he struck the rock, and water came out of the rock. Enough water to have everybody get drinks and their animals as well. But the rock was only to be struck or hit or smitten one time, and only one time. Why? You already know, but let's just say it out loud. Because the rock was a type. Jesus wasn't that rock, like some people teach. No, the rock was a type of Jesus Christ, the provider, living water, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Talking about the children of Israel, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, Jesus Christ. Do you understand? The rock is a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, anybody that comes to me drinks freely. Out of him shall gush rivers of living water as well, which comes out of Jesus Christ as well, right? Well, so first of all, we see that rock is a type of Jesus. Now, Moses may not understand it, but Moses doesn't have to. Do you get it? When God says to Moses, I'll provide rock, water from that rock, what I want you to do is smite the rock. And water will come forth. From that point on, all you have to do is speak to the rock. That's all. When we get to chapter 20, it's been going on quite a while. I just want you to speak to the rock. But you're only going to smite the rock one time. Why? Well, because the rock is the type of Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 10 explain this. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. You get it? How many times will the Messiah be smitten? One time. Only once. That's Hebrews 10, 9 and 10. Then said he, lo, the Messiah speaking, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. These are the covenants. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. How many times will Jesus Christ be smitten? Once. The rock is a spiritual rock. It is a type of Jesus Christ. Moses, smite the rock. From that point on, Moses, speak to the rock. Jesus Christ will only suffer once for all. And it's the picture, and we have a lot of type pictures in the Old Testament and the New. Moses is going to wreck up the picture. What was Moses commanded to do? This is so easy. Speak to the rock. What was Moses to do? Speak to the rock. Now you're going to find Moses didn't do that. What do you call that? Disobedience is what we call it. You see how easy this is to put together? You call that unbelief. You call that disobedience. You call that ignoring the word of God. He just spoke with the Lord. The Lord said, speak to the rock. He gets up from there and goes out to the people and watch what happens. And Moses took the rod, because God told him to, from before the Lord, as he commanded him. In verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, or right there by the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Does he sound upset? Did God sound upset? Wait a minute. Did God sound upset when God spoke? No. Does Moses sound upset? Got a problem here, don't we? A little bit of flesh coming. Watch this. Hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Who's we? Moses and Aaron. Who are the people complaining about? Moses and Aaron. Notice the people didn't say, God, this and God. They just said, Moses, you and you. So when Moses comes back out, he's a little bit upset. Would you be upset? Yeah, probably. Wouldn't we? But because we are, there's a danger now, isn't there? There's a danger that we might do something that God didn't want done. Or we might say something that God didn't want said. Or we might actually say something and do something in a way that God wouldn't have done it himself. And here, Moses is pretty upset. Nobody blames him, but it's sin and he's still wrong. It's in disobedience to God's word. God blames him. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation, verse 10, together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their animals also. I was reading a commentary just this morning. And the commentator said here that Moses' sin was he struck the rock twice, and the sin was he should have only struck it once. Is that the truth? Absolutely not. How many times should he have hit that rock? None. Why? Because God said, speak to it. Now, Moses may not understand it is a type of Jesus Christ. You get that? He may not understand all the ramifications of the first time he struck that rock, that the Messiah, out of him would flow living water, that the Messiah would be smitten. He may not quite understand the whole picture, but does he have to? Now, let this sink in, Christian. I don't have to get everything that's going to be out there. What I have to do is make sure that I listen to the Lord and do it the way God said, so that everything out there comes out God's way. Make sense? Because Moses now ruins the picture. Don't worry, God's going to take care of it. But it does become a problem in Moses' life. Listen up, you rebels. Do we have to get water for you again? You hear an attitude. You hear anger. You hear frustration. You know, you hear this. I got to tell you something. After 40 years, if it was up to me, I'd say, get your own water. I'll wait here. You be a water maker for a change. Here, take this stupid stick and do it yourself. And don't tell me you wouldn't feel that way. You got to hang out with people that are on your back for 40 years. And you'll see. The flesh has a tendency, if we're not listening to the Lord, to really get us in trouble. I think what's happened is Moses is so frustrated. He's reached what I suppose we'd call a breaking point. When you see people do that, you'll hear them say things like, I don't care what God's word says. You've heard Christians say that, haven't you? Yeah, you're kind of surprised they say it, but they do, don't they? I'm mad now, and I just don't care what God says. I'm divorcing him. I'm divorcing him. I don't care. I just don't care. I've had it up to here. It's the Popeye syndrome. Remember Popeye? That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. That's usually when he eats spinach and beats people up. Because that's it. I've had it. And that's where Moses is at. If he had spinach, we'd all be in trouble, I think. That's where he's at. But that's rebellion. It's disobedience to the revealed word of God. Doesn't matter how you feel, Moses. You are going against God's word. You don't want to do this. Here's the attitude, Moses' attitude. You are ungrateful, miserable whiners. And you can see it almost, you can almost see him doing it. Here's your water. I hope you choke as it goes down. And then he hits the rock twice. You know what surprises me? Water came out. Did it surprise you too? I mean, water came out. I expected God to go, Moses, get in here. And everybody go, but what about our water? Oh boy. You can't help but notice the grace of God. God allows water to come forth out of that rock. Do they deserve the water? No. I mean, for 40 years, they haven't deserved the water. And for 40 years, they haven't deserved breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for 40 years, they haven't deserved that their shoes should still be on their feet or their clothing should not wear. They don't deserve any of this. They deserve what every one of us deserves. Punishment, judgment for eternity. But God's grace is always sufficient. The people are not deserving, but God is loving and grace, full of grace and merciful. He's good. So they got their water. All right. Let's go back to our heroes. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, verse 12, and said, because you did not believe me. Did you hear that? When I disobey God's word, God says it's because I do not believe him. When you disobey God's word, it's not because you were mad. It's not because somebody deserved it. It's not because, well, I had enough in it. It's because I don't believe him. Isn't that what he said 40 years ago, almost 38 years ago at Kadesh? When they sent spies in, the spies came back and they gave an evil report and the people said, we're not going in there. What did God say? For 40 years, you'll wander. Why? Because you did not believe me. You disobeyed my word. It's the same as not believing. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me, or to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I've given them. And verse 13 says, this is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Notice, when you fight against Moses, who are you fighting against? You're really striving with God himself. When you fight against the church, who are you really fighting against? Jesus Christ himself. And so Jesus will say to Saul on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I'm not persecuting. I'm Jesus Christ whom you're persecuting. I'm not persecuting you. I'm crushing your church. Whatever you do to the least of these, you do it to me. Well, Moses, the Lord speaks to Moses and Aaron. Hey, notice something about Aaron. Tekai is 100% guilty. He's standing there going, yeah, you tell him, Mope. That's right. I feel the stick. Hit that rock. He didn't take the stick and do it himself, did he? But do you understand? He was right there 100% with him. So both of them now are judged and don't get to enter into the promised land. Pretty harsh, wouldn't you say? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Pretty harsh. I just spent 40 years with these clowns, and you know what they're like. There was a time when you thought, let's get rid of them. Now, I can't go to the promised land because of one little rock and some water and a stick. What kind of God do we serve anyway? I hear it, don't you? Christians. Well, I thought God loved me, and look at this. I thought God loved us and was merciful, and look at that. I thought God. Quit whining. Because you didn't believe me. Because you didn't do as I commanded you. It's unbelief. It's a lack of faith. Jesus rebuked his disciples for what? A lack of faith. It's called unbelief. And he rebuked them quite often. Where's your faith? O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? He was trying to teach us something, wasn't he? When he was teaching it to them. He's trying to get us to see it's not big faith size. It's not huge faith. It's simple faith. Trusting in his word. Trusting in the Lord himself. And what he says always goes. So, I said, speak to the rock, and Moses, you hit it twice. Not only did you disobey, which is unbelief, but you also took credit for this miracle. Are we going to have to get you water again? Hey, who's we? When I was growing up, I've told you this many times. My dad would go to the store. We'd go with him. We'd come back with ice cream. And we'd run in and say, hey, Mom, we bought some ice cream. And my dad would say, yeah, we killed a bear, and Pa shot it. Yeah, we didn't have any money. We just came with him, and he brought the ice cream. Well, you know, Moses and Aaron have nothing. They got a stick and a rock. You think that's going to produce water? Try it. It was God. And the credit should have gone to God. And Moses said, I'm mad. Now we got to get you water again. Moses, you missed it, buddy. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't Aaron. It wasn't Rod. It wasn't the rock. It was God himself. And on top of all that, God says, you misrepresented me before the people. You were frustrated. You were upset. And you led the people to believe that it was me that was upset. I told you to speak to the rock and they could have water. You took it to where you wanted it to be. You wanted people to feel that I was frustrated and angry with them, and that wasn't the case. You did not sanctify me before the people, is what God says to Moses. A lot of pressure in being a Christian, isn't there? So therefore, neither one of you will enter into the promised land. You will not lead these people into the promised land. Lord, we're that close. The 40 years is almost over. Give me a break. You had your breaks. You will not lead the people into the promised land. Moses and Aaron will both die, and they will not go with the children of Israel and lead them into the land flowing with milk and honey. And they're that close. Why? Because of their disobedience. And because they didn't sanctify the Lord before the people. They misrepresented the Lord. Both of them. What scares me about that is Moses was the stick swinger. But Aaron was right there in full approval. And both of them could not enter into the land and lead the people. After 40 years. And I've had Christians ask, isn't that a little harsh? I mean, is God being too harsh on these old men? Moses is 120. Aaron's older than that. Why don't you give them a break, God? I mean, they just spent 40 years with the Jews. And the Jews were not easy to live with. They were, God's word, rebellious, stiff-necked, stubborn, disobedient, hard-headed people. They were a burden on Moses and Aaron the entire 40 years with no let-up. And that's a fact. Can't change that. That's what God says himself. Why should God treat Moses and Aaron so roughly? And I think every one of you probably, deep down inside, knows the answer already. I think all of us do, don't we? Luke chapter 12, verse 48. And you've heard it so many times, all of us have. Jesus, giving this little parable, says, "He that did not know and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Makes sense, doesn't it? You see, it wasn't rough. Moses was the man. Aaron was the man. Aaron was the one God chose to put in the place of being the high priest. Oh my goodness. What a blessing. What an honor. What a calling in his life. Moses was so blessed that God spoke to him as to a man. And he was put in the place of being the prophet and the spokesman for the Lord before God and all the people. What a privilege. What an honor. What a true blessing. But with honor and blessing and privilege comes what? Responsibility. Don't you hate that word? Yeah, Moses learned to dislike it as well. To whom much is given, much is required. To whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You see, we're Christians now. Every one of us that says, I'm a Christian, there's more responsibility upon us. The more light you have, the more you see. The closer you draw to the Lord, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more God looks and expects. And you'll notice some of the baby Christians, they're doing things and you're just thinking, isn't that cute? But yet you realize if you were doing that, the Lord would be on your back. And he'd be speaking to your heart, wouldn't he? Right away saying, you know what, come on. You know, let's grow up. It's cute when a two-year-old throws a little bit of a tantrum. You go, oh, terrible twos. But man, when they're 20 and doing the same thing, it's pitiful. You're kind of embarrassed for them. And you watch them. I've seen some adults, and I'm talking about adults. You know, we're talking about people that are way out of their 20s. I've seen them lose it and throw tantrums and cry and spit and kick. And I think, you ought to be ashamed. You should be embarrassed. Someone, you know, that's a shame. You just don't expect that from an adult. Grow up. That's exactly what God's saying to Moses and Aaron. If the people did that, Moses, wouldn't shock me. But you? You can't enter in. I can't let you lead the people. You know better. You of all people, you know better. Does God love him? Sure. Will Moses enter into the promised land? Yeah, I see him in the Gospels. He finally did get there. Then on the Mount of Transfiguration, you'll see Moses. Well, think about Canaan before we go on and finish this chapter. Think about this. Canaan. It's the promised land. Because let's put it into something that Christians, we can walk out of here with it. Let's watch this. Canaan is the promised land. Now, Canaan, the promised land, doesn't represent heaven to us. Okay? We have to get that into our heads. It doesn't represent heaven to us. Canaan is really a picture, or representative, maybe I should say, of where you and I should be living right now by faith. The world is the wilderness, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we enter into the promised land, and that's right here and right now. Yeah, there is a heaven, there is eternity, and it's in our hearts, but we're not there yet. We're still in the dust and the dirt of the wilderness, but we can enter in by faith to the promised land, to the promises of God. And all the promises of God are, what does the Bible say in King James? Yea and amen, or right on, if you want. Where should we be living right now, everybody? Where should we be living? By faith. In the abundance. In the peace. In the joy of what God has promised us by his grace through Jesus Christ. And we could say along with the psalmist who wrote it near the end of his life, David did, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Your average garden variety pagan can't say that. You must be born again. So don't try to get the picture of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, to be some kind of out there somewhere away. No, get the picture of the earth being the wilderness and you and I entering in by faith, by grace through faith, through Jesus Christ, into God's promises right here and right now. So that you don't have to wander. Being his, still wandering out there outside of his promises, outside of what he's given to us, outside of the very things he said we could have. Didn't he promise peace? Yes. Many Christians don't have peace? Yeah. Didn't he promise a joy, an inner joy? Do many Christians not have a joy? Yeah. How come? They're wandering. You have to enter into it by faith. What did he say to Moses? You didn't believe me. It's my word, and you didn't believe it. Well, they called the place, before we move on, Meribah. That means, and this is not going to surprise you, place of quarreling, place of arguing. Now, verse 14 says, Moses sent messengers from Kadesh into the king of Edom, or unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. When we cried to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and has brought us up out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of your borders. Let us pass, I pray thee, through your country. Can we have permission to come through your country? We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right nor to the left till we have passed thy borders. Moses sends a message to the king of Edom. And Moses reminds them of the history of Israel. You know, we've been 400 years in Egypt. It was tough. And then he politely says, can we have permission to travel across your land? That's the quickest way from Kadesh. It's the quickest way to the promised land. Do you remember? He says we're brothers. Do you remember that the people of Edom are descendants of Esau? Esau and Jacob were brothers. The Israelites are descendants of Jacob. The Edomites are descendants of Esau, and so they're brothers. He says, we're brothers. We're your brother Israel. Would you give us permission to cross? We won't mess with your land. We won't cause any trouble. We just like to take the quickest path. I have a question, and I don't know if this really means anything or not. Why did he do that? why did Moses ask for permission to cross their land? He hasn't ever before. Go back and read through Exodus. Go back and read through Numbers. Has he ever sent letters and said, can we have permission? You know what he's always done? When the cloud lifted, you followed it. And when the cloud stopped, you stayed. What is Moses doing? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand this. If it were me, hopefully, I'd just get up and say, okay, the cloud's lifting. We're headed that way. I'm not sure what's going on here, but it might be a little bit of an unbelief problem continuing on in Moses. A little afraid now. I'm not going to enter in. Not quite sure what's going on. We might get attacked. We better. I don't know what's going on. Anyway. Just speculation. And Edom said unto him, here's the answer from the king. You shall not pass by me, lest I come out against you with the sword. I'll attack if you enter into our land. Well, that's a bummer. If you got halfway across it, you'd have been halfway across it by now. Anyway. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. Another note. Let's try it again. Go by the highway. And if my cattle drink of your water, I'll pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. We're not going to stay long. Just let us pass through. And he said, you shall not go through. And Edom came out against him with many people and a strong hand. So he came out ready to fight. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh, came unto Mount Hor. Moses tries again. We'll promise to be extra careful. If we drink water, we'll even pay for the water, kind of like Americans do with bottled water. We'll pay for it. Edom said, no, we'll attack you if you think about coming through. As a matter of fact, they brought some of their army just to make sure Israel didn't enter in. Israel's now discouraged. They turn away. They don't want to fight a war with Edom. Verse 23 says, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh to the kingdom of Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. In American, Aaron's going to die now. For he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. Now listen to this. When all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, all the house of Israel. They didn't mourn for Miriam. They mourn for Aaron. I don't know. I don't want to make it bigger than it is, but I think there's something in that. And I think it has to do with heart. And I think it has to do with attitude. Well, Aaron's going to die because of his rebellion back there at Meribah. So take the high priest's garments from Aaron, give them to his son Eleazar. Eleazar now will be our high priest into the promised land. You know, we think about that. You got to know. The children of Israel knew Aaron and Moses and Miriam well. Aaron and Moses especially. Miriam was kind of like the women's coordinator. But Aaron and Moses were the leadership of the nation. Aaron's the high priest. He went before the Lord every year in the tabernacle, carrying the children of Israel on his heart and on his shoulders to make atonement for the sin of the entire nation. All that time, he's our high priest. Now he's dead. Now we have another one. We don't know him as well. We know Eleazar. He's been around. We know it's Aaron's kid. But, you know, we just don't quite know him as well. Aren't you glad, Christian, that we don't have that problem? That our high priest is alive and we'll never have to worry about getting a new one. Not, you know, learning new things. No, that's kind of cool. Well, they took the high priest garments from Aaron, gave them to Eleazar. And Aaron died up there on the mountain. As God said he would. You see, in another month or so, children of Israel are going to enter into the promised land. So Aaron dies. Moses is going to die pretty soon, coming up. He knows it. Kind of a bummer. They mourned for Aaron for a full month, a full 30 days. Now Israel's basically, ready? Finished their wanderings in the wilderness. They're close to being finished. They have to get up to the borders now. And they're going to enter into the promised land. Finally, after about 40 years, they're going to enter in to that land flowing with milk and honey. The very thing God promised them that they could have had almost 40 years ago. They wasted so much time. And I think about me and you. As we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, yet we can still not enter into the promises. Israel never claimed what was fully theirs, what was given to them. We're Christians. We ought to go through God's word and see all the things he's promised us, because they're ours by grace through faith. We need to enter into those things, into the blessings of God. God is desperately wanting to bless every one of us. But we need to be in fellowship with him. You remember studying through 1 John. We need to be a part of it all. And we need to understand that to whom much is given, much is required. It's difficult for pastors because one simple lapse of judgment, one simple step out in the flesh can cost an entire ministry. And we think about that as Christians. I see Moses. I see Aaron. You see Miriam. Talk about lapse of flesh and lapse of judgment. These are issues for every one of us. You pray about them. I mean, if they mean nothing to you, then they mean nothing. But if you really want to seek the Lord, you pray about these things, because these are key in our lives today to walk in his promises. And also to sanctify the Lord by God's Holy Spirit, so that others can see Jesus Christ. Father, we pray. We thank you for this chapter in your word. And we're just amazed at the things that you show us. And we know that you don't show us just so we can be amazed. You show us because your word says these things were written as examples to us. We can learn, we can grow. So fill us afresh with your spirit. Strengthen our hearts. Continue to teach us, Lord, and allow us by your strength to walk in these things. And that you be glorified and honored. We pray it. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.